Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, today is day 15 of our 28-day forgiveness challenge, and we're actually going to move to a very important topic today, and it's the idea of forgiving yourself. You know, we've heard so many people say, I know God has forgiven me, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. Maybe you're in that boat right now, that you understand that Christ died, that Christ shed his blood for you, that forgiveness is available through him, and that you actually have forgiveness from God, but you're still struggling with letting go of your past. You're still struggling with this idea of forgiving yourself. I love what C.S. Lewis had to say. If God has forgiven us, we ought to forgive ourselves. I mean, we don't have a higher standard than God does, do we? And that was the whole point of his statement. And it's interesting when you peruse the Bible, you look at a topic about forgiving yourself, you don't find it there. Jesus never said to anyone, you need to go and forgive yourself. He just talks about the forgiveness that is available to you through his shed blood on the cross. And I think sometimes we struggle with forgiving ourselves because we really don't believe that Christ Jesus has forgiven our sins. We're still kind of walking on eggshells that punishment might be just up ahead for us because of what we've done in the past. Or we might be in the midst of a difficult situation right now, and we're trying to put the pieces together, connect the dots, add up 2 plus 2, and so we keep looking back into our past and saying, it's what I'm experiencing right now, the result of what I did way back when. And we're always trying to connect our present with our past. And in doing so, we negate what Christ has done as far as his shed blood on the cross, as far as the forgiveness that we have in Christ. But this is such an important topic. We want to talk about it on today's broadcast. The number to call is 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about forgiveness, if you have a question about how to let go of your past, we want to help you by pointing you into the Word of God. So call right now, 1-800-677-9377. It's kind of interesting, Richard. There's so many studies out there today on forgiveness. Even Stanford University is jumping in on this subject. They have commissioned the Stanford Forgiveness Project. And I love some of the conclusions that they have offered. They said forgiveness, that we use forgiveness as a means to make peace with the past. And then they go on to say that forgiveness may be, as the religious traditions have been claiming all along, a rich path to greater peace and understanding that also has both psychosocial and physiological value. This forgiveness is a very important topic. But for us to really understand forgiveness, we have to go to the source of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We can't rely on our human understanding. We can't figure it out ourselves. Why? Because our definitions go all over the place. Most of these studies and that sort of thing talk about the path to self-forgiveness is a path paved with self-love. It's paved with self-acceptance. It's paved with self-affirmation. And so it's trying to, jack you up emotionally so that you can let go of the past. Well, that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is the actual release of a person from the punishment that they were due. That's why only God can truly forgive. Any forgiveness that we offer one to another is derived from that. It's based on the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. So forgiveness is something that the Lord does, something that he has has released us as far as the punishment of our sins is concerned. We need to rest in that, and when we do, we can genuinely let go of our past and experience peace right here and now.
Open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Indeed, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. We thank you for joining us. We want you to come in and be a part of this one. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. We await your calls right now. Well, guys, a question from Stevie. He writes to us from Pennsylvania. He says, "Hi, guys. I've been a Christian for a few years now, and I'm just beginning to understand grace. I'm not sure, however, about legalism versus church discipline. Can you comment on that?"
Legalism versus church discipline. Legalism is a mindset, really, that has us right in the center of the Christian equation. It is up to us to live out the Christian life in order to earn God's love and acceptance. It's a work-based philosophy. Okay? Yeah. Most every religion is built upon legalism. We do something to appease the gods. We do something to get into the gods' good favor. That's what legalism is all about. We bring that into Christianity, and we say we have to do this, this, and this in order to get God to love us. That's legalism. That is a false gospel. It's not based on truth. There is nothing that we could do to earn God's love. There is nothing that we could do to bring forgiveness about in our lives. That's why it has to be by grace through faith. There's no other way. That is God's plan. And he has talked about that plan from the beginning, and he has carried it out all the way to the end. By grace through faith. That is what distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. Every other one is work-based at its core. It's legalistic. Now, that has nothing to do with church discipline or individual discipline. Discipline is merely a word that means to teach, right?
Yes.
And a disciple is a learner. God has lots to teach us, and sometimes he teaches us through very hard and difficult times. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, endure hardship as discipline. God has something to teach you in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that suffering. It's not a punishment for your sins. It's not adversity that he is bringing into your life to bring about justice. It's just the way of this world in which we live in. We're all going to face hardship and difficulty. Jesus promised that. In this world, you will suffer tribulation. So in the midst of that, God has something he wants to teach us. And when he teaches us that lesson, the result of it is a harvest of righteousness. Good things are going to come out of that. So during those hardships, don't look at that as punishment for sin. Rest in the fact that Jesus took your punishment for you. And then open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart to learn the lesson the Lord wants to teach you. That's when you become a real disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and that the unique thing about church discipline in a New Testament church is that it is based on this forgiveness we've been talking about. It's restorative. It's not about retribution. And that's the mistake we make so many times. Somebody has done something horrible in the church, and we need to protect the church body, so let's cut off his head. Well, that's not what it's about at all. Rather, that person, if they're saved, is just as forgiven as you and I are, and what we get to do as church leaders is find a way to both protect the body and restore the person who has committed the sin. It changes the complexion completely. And it becomes a discipline issue rather than a retribution issue.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We would love to hear from you to weigh in on this particular topic of forgiving yourself or any other issue you might have. We would love to hear from you right now. Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk with Larry, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Larry.
How are you today?
Doing wonderful. How about you, my friend?
Praising the Lord and blessing his holy name. That's what I'm doing.
Excellent.
But I was calling you to find out, because I missed when you was telling the other person about forgiveness. And it's something that I need so I can reflect back to this Bible study that I'm doing.
Okay. So what exactly are you asking? What do you want to hear on that?
The meaning of true forgiveness, because I missed the whole thing. But the part that I caught was very little, and it sounded good, but I didn't catch enough of it.
Well, forgiveness means being released from punishment due to sin. It's rooted in God's grace and holiness. It is God's act in Jesus to satisfy his justice. God did not let your sins, Larry, go unpunished. Jesus Christ took the punishment for your sins. And when you, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ, that gift of forgiveness, that gift of grace is given to you, and you are freed from all condemnation. In Christ, there is no condemnation for you. Why? Because the punishment went upon Jesus. So,
right.
So that's what forgiveness is all about.
Okay, amen. Thank you.
You are so welcome, Larry. Thanks for your call. We appreciate
hearing from
you. I encourage you to sign up for our email list.
Yeah.
We send out this forgiveness challenge every day through the month of August. So if you sign up, go to our website, basicgospel.net. There's a subscription link right there. Just click that, sign up, and we will start sending you these forgiveness challenge devotionals. We would love to do so.
Invited at basicgospel.net.
The prison ministry, I do it. It would really help.
Well, Larry, that's a yes. good application for that. Well, yes. Let me put you on hold, and we'll give you some more information. We certainly appreciate your call today.
Thank you.
Let's go to Jersey City and talk with Nick, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Great, pretty good. Beautiful sunny day out. God bless you both. I actually have a question. I don't have the scripture in front of me where Jesus talks about, he says, if you don't forgive others, I will not forgive you. Can you just explain that to me?
Well, good question, Nick. That's what we would refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It was given to us in Matthew 6. I think Luke talks about it in Luke chapter 11. But he says in the prayer, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So the basis of forgiveness in that prayer is the fact that we've forgiven others. It's not that we've asked. It's not that we've done all of those things. It's the fact that we've actually extended forgiveness to someone else. And on that basis, we're asking God to forgive our sins. And then he goes on to say in verse 14 of Matthew 6, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So it's a pretty bold statement that Jesus is making, and the ramifications are pretty severe. So if I don't forgive Richard when he sins against me, then God isn't going to forgive my sins when I sin against others. Boy, that's a hopeless statement as far as I'm concerned. It's not a statement of good news.
Because you're not forgiving him. Huh?
That's right.
Yeah,
I feel terrible.
It basically dooms us, Nick. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to do, to show us what a real heart that knows God is going to be about. And we have to look at that and say, well, my heart doesn't match up. I don't meet the standard because I don't really have a willingness to forgive others. But all that changes once we come to Christ and we are made new on the inside. Our spirits have been made alive. They've been joined together with God's Holy Spirit. We have a brand new heart, a heart that is inclined toward God, a heart that is willing to believe and trust God, and a heart that is willing to pass on the love of God to others, and that includes forgiveness. So when we go further into the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, for example, the book of Colossians as well, Paul writes to us that we are to forgive others as God in Christ has, past tense, forgiven us. Well, what's the difference? Well, the fact that we've been born again, that's a big difference. The fact that Jesus Christ is alive living in us, that's a big difference. The fact that we are not in the old covenant, but in the new. We're new covenant believers. Well, what brought about that? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a place of change, Nick. That's where everything changed. And so when we come to Christ by faith, We are included in this new covenant. We are given resurrected life. We receive forgiveness of sins. It's ours. And now we can pass on that forgiveness to others, just as God in Christ has given it to us. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. So if a person is a brand new Christian and they have not, is that ability to forgive going to be automatic, or is that something that might take time to learn?
Well, it's going to take time to learn. I think it's automatic as far as that's the desire the Spirit of God is working into any believer. So God's Spirit is at work putting that desire inside each and every one of us. Now, sometimes it's going to take a little time for our minds and our emotions to align themselves with what God's Spirit is doing on the inside. We have to go through the mental gymnastics, but God's truth keeps pouring out, and pretty soon we see our minds being renewed, and in our minds we're saying, yes, I want to step out in faith and forgive this person. So the desire is there. God continues to work it through and bring our minds in alignment with what the Spirit is doing inside of us.
Right. Okay.
Does that
help? Very good. I appreciate it. Yeah, that helps. That question was in relation to a second question I had, which is short. You know, we've been talking about forgiveness a lot this week, and I've heard a lot of calls call in and ask about, you know, do I have to ask God for forgiveness, you know, every time I sin? Should I keep a short account? And I hear a lot of talk about, you know, we're saved once and we're always saved. We don't lose our salvation, which is true. But I think that constant attitude of repentance and bringing our sins before the Father constantly keeps us from being separated in a relationship with Him, not a salvation relationship, but a day-to-day relationship. Just like a father and a son on earth, the kid is constantly doing wrong, and, you know, the father or the parents are not going to reward that child, and they're going to be, their relationship's not going to be as it should be, because they're you know, either upset with the kid or
the kid's
not doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the reality is this. Sin is an awful thing. It's not just a mistake. It's not just some little thing that I did wrong. Sin is powerful, and it can cause our emotions and our minds to respond in a way that's not in accordance with truth. But truth is what brings our minds back and brings our feelings back to where they need to be. And the fact of the matter is, God shed blood, or Christ shed blood on the cross, keeps us connected with God always. We are never outside of His favor. We are never outside of His grace. That's just how powerful the shed blood of Jesus was. And so as our minds really embrace that truth, then all of those feelings of being separated from God, being dirty and a million miles away, start going away. We think that, one, because sin makes us think those sort of things, and two, we run with it. And so we figure out, well, I need to do something to get back into God's good graces. Well, there's nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing you can do except trust in what Christ has already accomplished for us. Now, as far as repentance is concerned, Nick, I think we have that whole process backwards. Repentance is not something that we initiate and then God responds to that act. Repentance is what happens when we respond to the act of God's kindness that has been delivered to us in Christ. So our repentance follows God's grace. Okay? So when I truly repent is when I see, wait a minute, this act that I just did hurt someone else. It brought pain into their lives. Thank goodness that Jesus stood in my place, that Jesus took the punishment for me. Now I can trust His Spirit to lead me in such a way that is going to restore that relationship, that is going to offer healing to the person that I have offended. That's when repentance really has taken its full course in our lives, and that always comes as a result of God initiating His grace into our hearts and lives.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Nick. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Curtis in Washington, D.C. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing, guys? God bless you.
Well, thank you.
I'm just listening to you, man. I'm being blessed by everything you're saying. Everything you're saying, I'm being totally blessed by it. I was talking to my son the other day, and there's I'm not really sure where it's at, but the scripture, you know how it talks about absent from the body, the present with the Lord, for the saints.
Yes.
But he was asking me, well, Dad, what happens when people that's not saved die? And I was telling him, well, we always talk about hell, but when I read Revelations, it talks about the lake of fire. And it gives me the impression that they're two different places. So he asked me, where does the soul of those go that die outside, that don't die in Christ? They're not saved. They're not in Christ, but they die.
Well, Curtis,
the saints go be with the Lord.
Yeah, Curtis, all we know is that they're going to suffer what the Bible calls the second death. And death is the absence of life, and it's going to be an eternal separation from God. They're going to be outside of his presence. Now, that's kind of weird to think about because God is God is everywhere. So it's kind of a mind twister. But the fact remains that they will experience a permanent death, and that permanent death is going to mean a permanent eternal separation from God. And that's what death is, ultimately an eternal separation from God. Why? Because he is the source of life. He is life itself. And when we receive him, we receive life. Why? Because we've received him, and he is life. So it's his life that we experience as believers in Christ. So when we die, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. When those who die in unbelief die, they're just separated from God, and that's an eternal thing. And that's about as much as I can give on that.
Well, one of the things that's helped me...
Because it also goes back to, say, the lake of fire. At one point it says, after the great white throne judgment, that they were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death.
Yes, but remember it also says that the dead were raised just for that white throne judgment, just before the lake of fire. And so the dead in that case are the lost. One of the things, Curtis, that has helped me in this regard is to remember that I'm not neutral. I was not born neutral. I was born spiritually dead. And I am as seated with Satan in hell before I'm saved as I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies after I'm saved. Jesus talked about that. You know, when you believe in him, the judgment is taken away from you. If you refuse to believe in him, you remain condemned. And so it's not a neutrality thing. It's that God is, through the Spirit, trying to reach us and bring us to salvation so that we don't even have to think about this issue.
Well, Curtis, we appreciate you weighing in on today's broadcast. Thank you so much. Let me put you on hold, and we'll give you some more information about the ministry. I do want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and we certainly need your help as the summer months wind down. Summer is always a very difficult time for our ministry, and we need your help. A gift of $50 right now, a gift of $100, a gift of $500 would make a huge difference for us as we move into the final quarter of the year. So if you can help, would you do so today? Go to our website, basicgospel.net. There is a link right there that you can click and just follow all the instructions to make an online donation. You can call our toll-free order line, 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Talk with Billy. Tell her that you would like to make a contribution to Basic Gospel. She will take your all your information and make that possible. Or if you would like to send a check, our address is Basic Gospel, 1225, just think of Christmas, 1225 East Rosemead Parkway, Carrollton, Texas. That's Carrollton, Texas, 75007. But we need to hear from you right now.
Yeah. And that's spelled out of time. See you tomorrow.